Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat. Once Upon a Beat.
Join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the hilarious and wonderful, and perhaps slightly tuckered out from walking around London, Mr. Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Well, hello. I'm not tuckered out at all. I feel great.
Oh, good. Because I'm a little tuckered out myself.
London-y things. I saw castle-looking things and other castle-looking things. I didn't really look at signs much, but I did look at a lot of hot people. I'm basically just touring hot people. I'm like, whoa, there's a hot guy. Whoa, there's a hot guy in front of a castle. There's a hot guy with a horse. Oh my God, there's a hot guy in jogging pants. That's literally all I'm paying attention to. I don't know. Spring has sprung over here. In my pants. In my pants. Okay.
You would have loved our waiter at lunch. We went to Dishoom for lunch, which was featured on Top Chef World All Stars. It's also famously the restaurant, now that I think of it, where we called it Dish Room. And then everyone sent us an email like, it's called Dishoom. And now that we're here.
You're morons.
And we see how famous Dishoom is. And then we're sitting here on our podcast going like, Dish Room? They went to a place called Dish Room. So anyway, we had a hot waiter, but I felt like you would have loved him. His name was Alex. Look him up.
Alex, waiter at Dishoom.
Alex at Dishoom. You can stalk him. Anyway, today we have a lot to talk about. First of all, we're doing a show at the end of this week here in London, which is sold out. So thank you everyone who is coming. If you didn't get the memo, we are actually going to be recapping the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Amsterdam episode, which is where Lisa Rinna throws that glass. And then on Saturday, we're going to Dublin and we're going to be recapping Real Housewives of Orange County, their trip to Ireland, that episode, Shamrock and Shame. And Shamrock and Ashamed. And then next week, we're going to Birmingham, and we are recapping Real Housewives of Orange County, A Case of the Vickies, which, of course, is the famous Orange County episode in Iceland where Vicky has to be carted out with a towel on her face because she's having a medical emergency. So it's all about European vacations for us with our recaps this week. In Europe, we're having the best time. Also, do check out our bonus episode this week. This was... Some might say this is the most expensive bonus episode we've ever done.
The biggest budget bonus episode of all time.
We recap the Taylor Swift Eras concert that we went to. And we did it. We recap it while we're sitting in an airport in Sweden. So it's a really fun time. And I hope you all listen to it. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
I mean, by recap, we spoke about it for half an hour. We didn't do a full 5-hour recap. I mean, that was a 3-hour concert. That shit was as long as Les Mis, okay? Recapping that would have been days and days. And also, guess what? I don't need terrorist threats on my person. Because anything you say bad about anything to do with Taylor Swift, we're going to have 97 million 12-year-olds over here. Good. Threatening to bomb our asses.
Let them join our Patreon. Okay. Let them join our Patreon. I support
Yes. We accept all terrorists on Patreon, just so you know.
But we had a great time.
Emotional and otherwise.
So that's the thing. We had a great time.
We did have a great time. Yeah.
It was a wonderful time.
Also, I'm talking different today because we're in the hotel, and we asked our like travel agent lady, please, you know, we gave her kind of an impossible assignment, which was, could you please find us hotel rooms we can record things in? How do you do that? What are you supposed to ask the front desk? Hey, we have really loud, overdramatic theater kids who want to come in here and scream for 2 hours in funny voices. Do you have rooms for that? So, of course, she didn't. And everyone can hear everything. So I'm trying to talk quietly, but let's face it, I'm not talking quietly. I feel the walls reverberating around me. So, yeah. Sorry. If I'm sounding different, that's why. I'm trying to have manner.
And our Wi-Fi is a little spotty. So if it cuts out or like we may talk over each other more than usual, mainly because we think the other person has stopped talking. Like literally as I started talking about this, Ronnie like kind of like momentarily paused. So apologies ahead of time if we have some Wi-Fi induced, awkwardness or overstepping. But we are doing this Crap Is On Demand, and if you are watching Crap Is On Demand, Ronnie has decided to give himself a nice backdrop, and I've decided to give you all a view of our empty wardrobe.
You know, it's literally our story. That is our story as a podcasting couple. You just don't give a crap about backgrounds. I always have to say, Ben, you know what would look better? The background? Maybe you could, I don't want to boss you around, Ben. You know what? Maybe a couch, maybe a green screen, if you're by the most beautiful tree in the world, you will face the camera and sit in front of a fire hydrant.
Well, I also learned my lessons, which is lighting is the most important thing. And so I'm sitting here with the lighting the trumps, coming
you're
in.
Right.
And actually, if you saw the view outside my window, you would see that the wardrobe is actually the best view you could have in this room right now. So
yeah,
I can show it to you.
I'm just teasing you. You know what's more important with you, Ben? The foreground, your face.
You know, okay? Maybe tomorrow I'm going to hang something beautiful in this wardrobe, and it'll actually be maybe I could hang a sweater in there, and it'll be very evocative.
Well, you should hang some of our amazing shopping that we've done, because we are typical Americans and we have shopped at H&M and
yes, this is true.
Some organizational place that Ben and Dom are really into.
Muji, how dare you? Okay, some organizational place.
Dish room. It's called Dish Room. They sell packing cubes. They're really up. All right, let's get into this recap. We're doing a lot of small talk about literally nothing. Let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. Everything is breaking apart. I thought I was such a good friend to these people, but no, everybody's leaving me alone.
The drama.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I have said many times before, in this whole mess, I've been on the – I'm never on Teresa's side in any of this. I just never am. But I can see already this edit is not going to go well for Margaret and company. Like, you can just see they're getting the edit of fixating too hard, bullying people who just want to make peace. It's going to be a rough season for Margaret. And you know what? Hey, it happens, and I'm here to watch it. I'm excited to see how it all shakes out.
So Marge keeps falling into the same thing, and she's got to stop it. You know, this was happening the very first episode of that season. She went against Teresa about Louis' stuff being in the press. Was that just last year?
It was 2 years ago. Feels like a decade. 2 years ago. Yeah,
I remember saying, Marge, losing into this. You're losing this battle. I can already tell you. And here we are again, opening up a season where, Marge, you're just on the – it's not that you're going against Teresa. It's that it doesn't matter. None of this matters, and you guys are trying to get – now you're clearly – you're not even subtly trying to do it. You're clearly trying to get people to not shoot with other people, and that's just not going to work. It's Teresa's show. When we love Marge on this show, this is Teresa's show. Out of everybody who's left, this is Teresa's show. I'm sorry. You can't band together with a bunch of noobs and decide you're going to get Teresa kicked off this show. It's not going to work. And why would you want it to work? Teresa's the best meatball we've ever had. Are you going to ever find another? No. And sometimes Ben doesn't like Teresa because she's been to jail. I like Teresa because she's been to jail.
I'm a jailist. I don't like Teresa because I think that she has incredibly hypocritical double standards on people. And I get that. That's part of being a Bravo star.
She does.
But, the thing is this, though. You're going after Teresa it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You have to just let her hang herself. Not obviously, literally, but, you know, just like she will make her own mistakes. And when she makes her own mistakes,
that's her choice, too.
Yeah. The audience always turns against her when she makes her own mistakes. Just look at several seasons, people are like, oh my God, Teresa's awful. But when people come after her, she's really good at playing the victim. And Bravo likes to protect the stars. And like, it feels like the seasons where people come after Teresa are the seasons where all of a sudden we watch like 10 minutes of Teresa's daughters doing something. And so you see Teresa and like, she raised all these daughters, you know, and she's finally happy. And
I've got my daughters. Yeah.
So, you know, trying to go after her, you set her up for failure, and it'll be glorious. But if you try to come after her,
and if you're gonna try and ice her out, at least be subtle about it. Don't just be like, okay, nobody can shoot with Teresa. You're not my friend anymore. Like, you can't do that. You have to, like, that's just obvious. You know, like, be subtle. Listen, I know that people are always bashing Lisa Vanderpump, but at least Lisa Vanderpump tried to be subtle. You know, it's a chess game, darling. Or it's not tic tac toe sidelong gigantic X's, gigantic O's. You get tricky with it.
Yeah. So let's dive into this week's episode. It's a Jersey Shore episode. We're still down there. We start up in the Jersey Shore. We're at Melissa's house. Melissa's making a bed.
Or as we call it, as people from Jersey would call it, we're down the shore. We're still down the shore this week.
We're at the shore. And Melissa's making her bed. And Margaret, that's me, and Joe are brushing the teeth. And Margaret's like, you know, they don't even get enough water pressure. Joe, you got to do something about this. Joe, put on your seafoam polo and change the plumbing. Okay, Joe, this is terrible. Joe, I bet Teresa did this. I bet Teresa blocked. I bet Teresa gave them hot water and blocked up all their faucets. I guarantee it.
So then we go to the other shore house. And everybody's getting ready. Same thing over there. Polly's like, can you help me make the bed? Delore, you never help me out. She's like, what are you talking about? I don't help you out. What are you saying? Of course I help you out. I help you out all the time, Polly. He's like, I'm just kidding. You're a good woman. Good woman, help out. And you're a good woman. Help her out.
You know, the defining feature of Susan B. Anthony, she was a good woman who helped out her man make beds. That's why she's the feminist icon woman that she is. You're a good woman.
What do you mean
Charlie
I don't
Brown
help you out, Paulie? Hey, Paulie, here's a mirror. Look at your face. All right? Now here's Instagram. Look at your face again and tell me how much I don't help out.
You're a good woman.
You're a good woman. I actually had Susan B. Anthony's face. Now look at me. I'm freaking Fabio on the Instagram. Just kidding. Sorry, Susan B. Anthony. I don't know where that disc came from. Susan B. Anthony's in heaven somewhere. Like, seriously? I worked so hard for this to get this by some queen who can't get laid in London?
Seriously? By the way, I already have an aside. Americans, you have to like really get it together abroad. Okay, we were, Ryan and I, before recording this, we were at the Winston Churchill war bunker. Naturally, that's how we like to prep for our podcast.
Of course. Where else would we be?
And we're doing audio. We're listening to like as an audio tour, so we had to hold these things up to our ear. And Ronnie, you just missed this. You were like, Ronnie had to leave. So like 1 minute after
and
you left.
And I had to. I can take so much. You know what I mean? I can take so much. I'm like, Winston Churchill was not hot enough to command this much attention. Okay. There's hotter people outside. Like, Winston, love your cane, love your Alfred Hitchcock gate, love it all. I'm bored. Like, the lady on the audio needs to speed the fuck up, bro.
She was starting to take a very long time. But then towards the end of it, you finally get to Winston Churchill's room, and I'm listening, and this woman comes in who could have been like a Dolores, whatever. And she goes, huh? It's too loud. Okay. Hold on 1 second. And you're trying to listen. And the person on the audio tour is like, in this room, Winston Churchill delivered speeches from his very bed. And that chamber pot served as his toilet. But as he was from the aristocracy, he was quite used to using a chamber pot. And I'm trying to like listen in about like, ooh, Winston Churchill's most intimate moments. And she's like, it's too loud. You know, it's giving me a headache. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go.
What? I wonder if it's the same lady, because there was another lady in there that spoke like that. And, yeah, you know, it's an actual bunker. Okay. So yes, you're in a basement. It's very, very narrow hallways that you're going down. So you're with all these other people literally standing in a hallway, and you're holding this phone type thing up to your ear, and it has the audio. Okay. So we're all going through it. This mom comes through. She has a stroller. So I move out of her way, and the lady puts her arm over my chest and moves me even further back. By the way, I'm like the only person who moved. She moved me further back and she goes, she like touched me and she goes, that right there, that's a mother in distress. Everybody, mother in distress. The lady was not in distress. She was just trying to get through with the stroller. She's like, mother in distress here. Mother in distress.
Did your lady look like Diane Warren, kind of?
I don't know. Remember Diane Warren's face, but she had like reddish short hair.
Right? And she had a husband, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And she was wearing, I think, maybe stripes. Because... this woman who told you that there's a woman in distress then came into Winston Churchill. By the way, talk about distress. Winston Churchill in a bunker. She comes into Winston Churchill's bunker and goes, ah, it's so loud. I'm trying again. It's still so loud. I can't. It's giving me a headache. And she walked out.
You know, like, what's louder? War, ma'am. Okay, war is louder.
My point is, that's how I imagined Dolores on an audio tour of Winston Churchill. You know what? It's too loud. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go upstairs. I thought there's a good woman on an audio tour.
All right. So then we go over to the Fuda Show House, and they're like, isn't the weather nice? I was like, these two. I can't with these two. I officially don't like these two now. I'm bored with them. I'm bored with them trying to kick people off the show. And did you see John Fuda's IMDb that he made himself?
No, I did not see that.
Now listen, I feel like I've done it. I've got an IMDb page. It's like no one gives a shit about me, and I still made an IMDb page. But he like made an IMDb page and then went and had a photo shoot and put like professional actor photos. And then his listings are like Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I forget, he was like an extra in something. And it's like that his other thing. And then he's like very serious, giving very serious like inside the actor's studio poses pictures.
He was an extra in Remains Today. Listen,
John Fupa. Amazing. You picked the classiest film.
He did a lot of great work for Anthony Hopkins back in the day. Yeah, John Fudo with his IMDb. Okay, all right, well, we'll accept it. I think I'm on IMDb. I think I have one credit back from when I was a PA, which is also hilarious. So who am I to talk?
You know what? We're people with no credits. That's who we are. We have no credits. We're fellow people on IMDb. The only thing making me better than you, John Fuda, is that I do not have glamour shots up there of myself, but I will. I will one day.
If
anybody wants to check out my IMDb, I have done two small YouTube shows. Okay, go enjoy. Right, YouTube. Go ahead, Ben.
We should get
Mother in Distress. Mother in Distress. Hold, please.
I can't believe you got the crossing guard treatment for a Mother in Distress. I know who that stroller was, by the way, and that lady. Was annoying. I'm sorry.
She was annoying. Oh, with a double stroller.
You know why?
You know what? If you're going to get a double stroller and you're going to go through a fucking museum or whatever in a bunker, how about you get a double stroller where one baby is behind the other baby? Do I need a wall of your babies coming through a museum?
Oh.
I don't.
Oh, I thought you'd talk about the other double stroller because there's one part in the bunker tour. You're just walking through this Diane Warren of bunkers, and there's a part where it's like it opens up, and then if you want to continue, you have to sort of like hook around a little rope, and this lady had her stroller and her man unhooked the rope so she could go in when she could have just very easily moved the stroller around the rope to get in, but they're like, no. We have to unhook this rope. And I was like, oh, you're trying to exercise some baby stroller privilege right now when you really don't even need to.
They were the whole time the baby owners in there. We'll exercise. Like the Winston Churchill exhibit, babies. Okay, know your crowd, fucking weirdos.
I was going to say, we also discovered that Winston Churchill has a Real Housewives tagline. And this is what it is. And this is an actual quote that was on the wall. We're all worms. I'm just a glowworm.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, the Fesslers. Let's go to the Fesslers. So they come over to the Fudo's house, and Danielle and Nate walk in matching pink sweatshirts.
Oh my God. What are you guys? You're always matching. Why are you guys always matching? That's crazy. You're like Barbie and Ken.
And Danielle's like, lovey, duh. We kind of got the Jersey Italian Barbie and Ken thing going like this. We're doing like even if Willie Supermarket. We're like, hey, you know, woman, we're matching kicks, matching sweatsuits. I love that about us.
Mother not in distress. Mother and matching. So Danielle's like, hey, so you guys have fun at the party? And we're just like, no, I had a great time. I love the choir. Oh, yeah, that's what, you know what? You have to start listening to some Christian music. It'll change your life. I'm like,
I love that. I love the choir.
I know. I'm like, I love that Danielle is suddenly becoming an ambassador for gospel music. So
Danielle's like, congratulations. Second, third, and fourth Black people ever to be on this show. So hope you all enjoyed that. We made history.
Jen Fessler's like, well, we loved it, but we're not going to start listening to Christian music. I can't tell a lie. The music we're going to listen to is whatever I was fucking James Gandolfini to that one rainy night, if you know what I'm saying.
So John Fudo's like, so you disappeared for a while. Where'd you go? Oh, John, you know where she went, okay? And I love that John's already ready to have another housewife's fight with another housewife. Fucking yeah. John. Sit down, John. So she's like, you know where I went? I went to go talk to Teresa. She wanted to talk. She heard that New York, Nate and Paul and Frank said something about me saying to them, you didn't stick with the plan. Well, they didn't stick with the plan because you had manila envelopes. Do you remember that? So I remember saying, where were your manila envelopes? That's all I was saying. It was a lovely conversation I had with her.
Yeah, and Rachel's like, oh. She has that face of like, I can't believe it. So she says, you know, not so long ago, Jen was saying she didn't even want to be in the same room as Louis and Teresa. So I'm a little confused now how we got from there to sitting together and laughing for hours at a time. I'm like, I'm a little confused as to why we're three episodes into this ridiculous, you know, low level mother in distress fight right now.
Yeah. Oh, Fess was like, well, you know, we had a little talk and Teresa, it was nothing dramatic. And then Teresa wanted to know what happened at my party. And then she said that she was talking about, when she said John Fudo was the biggest drug dealer in the world, that she was talking about when he was 16, not now. And if she did mean now, she meant it as a compliment. I can get the man an IMDb page. He's the biggest drug dealer in town. I mean, it really is a nice thing to say. Can we all just agree that Teresa's a wonderful person? All right, Teresa. Now, you want to hear a choir sing? Teresa opening her mouth. It's basically a choir singing at all times. What a saint of a human being, am I right?
She's basically the Kirk Franklin of Franklin Lakes. I mean, they share a name, pretty much. So, Rachel, she's like, I think Jen Fessler is stupid for even giving Teresa the time of day to defend herself, and that irritates the living shit out of me. I'm like, what does not irritate the living shit out of Rachel Fuda? She's like, other things that irritate me? Cookies wrapped in plastic? Cookies in Pepperidge Farms? Pepperidge Farms? What is Pepperidge Farm? Is there even a farm called Pepperidge Farm? That annoys me. All these things annoy me. I'll go down the entire cookie aisle. I'll tell you everything that annoys me about them.
Crosswalks?
Pigeons?
Can we just walk? Why don't we need crosswalks?
Why do they got to bring religion into it?
Tootsie Roll wrappers? I don't know if anybody else has been into this Tootsie Roll. Anybody could get into this Tootsie Roll. You just twist it. They don't even seal it?
Twigs.
What's that?
Twigs. Why do we need twigs when we've got branches? Am I right?
Twigs. Twigs. Just mini copycat branches.
Why do we need different shaped leaves? Why do we need to have like a maple leaf and an oak leaf? You know?
So then Fessler's like, well, listen, I'm she tosses something over her shoulder and she goes, oh God, I'm so sorry for I'm throwing muffins into your turf. And they go, yeah, why are you throwing muffins? And she goes, I don't know. I think it's a tick or something.
When I'm cornered, I just take whatever carbohydrates nearby and throw it onto whatever fake grass is also nearby.
I got nervous in the Costco one time because there was someone I knew from high school. And before you know it, I was getting kicked out of the hospital Costco for just throwing hot dogs across the store. Don't stress me out near food.
So
I actually didn't even throw the meat because that wasn't a carb. I just dropped the meat on the floor and threw the buns.
I got so nervous. I went over to the cheese section and took a giant package of American cheese slices and flung it across the room. You know the type I'm talking about, where it's like cheese slice in a package, but connected to another package, but connected to another package. It looks like a belt of artillery, but it's cheese instead. I threw it. I tell you, I threw it.
Okay, so Danielle's like, so anyway, I hope we're going to have a good time today. Everybody just needs to have a good time today, but... So then we go some Jersey Shore B-roll. We go to Melissa's house, and they're in the backyard. And Melissa's like, Joe, oh my God, how come my hydrangeas are turning green? I don't know how to keep flowers alive, Joe. I'm just like Teresa.
They're supposed to stay white. And Joe goes, burning.
I love these two just get some prop hydrangeas that burn in the sun.
I know, but by the way, when
those hydrangeas went to sizzle tan. This is Real Housewives of New Jersey. Okay, we know what happened to those. Sizzle tan came over. They were like, you know what, we're gonna get some free advertising. Sizzle tan the hydrangeas.
It's more like some mafia tulips did a hit on the hydrangeas. Hydrangeas owed some money. Also, by the way, when things turn green, it's usually not when they are you wouldn't normally say it's because they're burning. Hey, look at all the grass in this countryside burning up. It's so green.
They
burn.
Well, they showed them and they did look burnt.
They did look burnt.
They didn't look green either. They did look burnt. I was like, maybe Joe Gorga. In other times, I would have thought Joe was spraying his hair next to the hydrangeas.
Hydrangea is the perfect word to describe Joe Gorga in that he is probably high. He's a little deranged, and he's often saying "duh," like it's like hydrangea. Duh. So, hey, welcome everyone to Watch What Happens. Hydrangea puns. Hydrangea.
Can we just blame anything on jet lag? Even though I don't have jet lag, I didn't really get jet lag. Because it turns out I can not sleep anywhere and also sleep everywhere, which is the weirdest thing about me. It's an odd thing. But I just say when we run into that problem, just keep saying jet lag. Mother in distress or jet lag.
Mother in distress. Sorry, everyone, for the hydrangea joke, but there was a mother in distress and I couldn't focus. Mother in distress. This thing's so loud. I got a headache already.
Mother in distress. Okay, so then they talk about the weather, like how great the weather is. And then she wants to do an Italian-themed birthday party for Joe because they went to Italy. And so she got an Italian-themed birthday cake. has there ever been anything on this show that's not Italian themed? And are you going to have letters in the shape of bread? If not, I don't want to come to this party. This is not a party at these two's homes unless there's letters shaped out of bread. And why are we acting like we've never had an Italian themed party?
I know. She says it as if this is a novel idea. As if, like, we did not watch 10 different parties of making mozz last season. So, because he's going to be turning 50, so, or he's turning 49 or so. It's going to be his last year, yada, yada. So, Mark was like, hi, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Mwah. Okay. You know what's, it's funny. I was on the phone with Dolores, you know, and, you know, she answered the phone. She goes, hello. Anyway, listen to the opening credits. You'll hear it. Anyway, she was like, I feel bad leaving Jennifer alone. And I go, what do you mean Jennifer's alone? And goes on, she goes, oh, Teresa and Louie, they have to go get Gabriella ready to leave for college. So they left this morning, and Dolores, like, of course, Paulie and I are going to go over to Melissa's, but staying at her house, and I'm leaving her alone. Can you believe it? I'm like, but just say she's coming over. It's like, can you believe Jennifer and Bill are
No, because she's already doing her, she's already coming in with the, now Dolores feels bad that Jennifer can't come to the party. Really? So, oh, really? So we're feeling bad. She's just too obsessed with, like, her enemies not coming to this party. Like, just stop. They're part of the show. Who are you going to fight with, Lexi? What, are you going to push your mother in the pool? Like, come on.
How about this, Jackie? I'll fight with Jackie. It's like, okay. So, Dolores is like, well, I feel bad. We see a flashback of them talking about it. Dolores is like, well, I feel bad leaving Jen and Bill to go someplace they weren't invited to. Who cares? She should talk to Melissa then. Why are you even worrying about it, okay? It's like I tell Sabrina and Tenafly, just because you're going to a vegetarian party doesn't mean you have to stop at the sausage restaurant and tell them I'm sorry for not inviting you. No, it was not one of my best metaphors, but...
Mother in distress.
mother in distress right now.
I mean, what, you're going to hear there's a good cake at a Mensa party and you're not going to eat it because Jen can't get in? I mean, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? Just not invited to a lot of places. Libraries.
public parks. Ben and Jerry's.
Public parks. I love that Jen has been banned from public parks.
They won't let her on the swing set after she pushed the child too hard and said, come on, baby. Fly like
they won't let her in. Ever since the police said it's just too disconcerting for people to be there, and then hearing somebody just screaming, baby! Baby!
She apparently sent 10 different pizza bagels down the slide and caused a big grease issue. So Jennifer...
There were ants. They still have ants at the top. Jen's not allowed back.
Not the insects. Just a whole bunch of ants came by. They said, where's our niece? We're mothers in distress.
They all bought grape leaves, which also invited actual ants.
She has a very large family. They all went to the park.
It's like my aunts.
They took up the swing set.
Hey, did you guys see any aunties come in? How do we know they're your aunts, Ronnie? They were probably carrying trays of hummus and grape leaves. Any of those?
So now at Jennifer's house, she's making a Turkish breakfast, which is very nice. And Olivia's setting the table. Olivia's... you know, like, she's always playing a character. So now she's doing the, like, 1950s homemaker thing, like putting forks and knives on the table, being, like, very dainty, which is great because we love her. And then Paulie comes in. He's like, oh, is there anything I can help you with? Because I'm, like, a good woman helping out.
And he's like, oh, thank you, Olivia. Some eggs. You're the best. She goes, you're welcome. She's my hero. I need her in every scene. So Jen's like, okay, I'm going to give you some Turkish bread and you can eat it with feta cheese, baby. I have tomato. That's how we do it over here. And so Dolores, you know, they all gather around and Jennifer goes, hey, Dolores, do you eat eggs? Do I eat anything else? It's eggs. Have you seen me? I look like fucking Cinderella's been unveiled every single evening before a ball. All right. What do you think? I sit around eating breads shaped like lizards? No. Eggs.
Eggs. You know my rule. The fewer syllables in a food, the more I eat it. So eggs. Yes. Although it also joke goes the other way because I do like to eat stromboli.
I tried going to a pho place, but I could never really figure it out.
It turns out it only really applies to eggs. because I really enjoy fettuccine. So Jennifer's serving. She's like, "Turkish bread." And I said, "Thank you." And then Dolores is like, "So, what do you think about the party last night?"
"Oh, it was nice, baby. It was a celebration of life, you know. I don't know whose life or what's life was going on, but it was a celebration of life, I was told. So there it is. A celebration of life, baby."
"It's a celebration of life, baby." And Jennifer's like, "Yeah, I mean, I thought it's just so awkward when you're not talking to certain people. It's just so weird. You don't know how to act. That's... there are ways so you can't accuse him of anything."
I love when Jennifer starts a season so innocent. She's like, "I just don't know why everybody's so mean to me. Why is everybody so mad to me? Is it because I'm pretty?" Yes, Jennifer. Everybody hates. No reason. No reason at all, Jen. I can't imagine why anybody would be mad at you on this show.
I like also when she says, you know, I like that she said, you know, it's going to a party like that. It's weird because it's like you don't know how to act. When have you ever known how to act at a party, Jennifer? What evidence have you ever put forth that shows that you know how to act at a party?
I know. But I like this because she gives herself an arc when she pretends to be like, "Look at me, I'm just Jen, calm, calm, loving Jennifer Aiden, never done nothing to nobody." And by the end of the episode, she's like, "Die in a fire, you dumb slut." So she's like, "Yeah, you know, I saw Melissa. I mean, this is just not nice to me. I mean, please, somebody, tell me one thing I've ever done to them." I love that the editors just throw in like an hour's worth of footage of her just being terrible.
I know, it's perfect. So Dolores is like, "Okay, so you know, how about this? I would love for you to sit with them because, you know, right now," "I'm not going to initiate it, baby. Not me. I can't do it. I can't do it, baby." And she's like, "I know, but
no. You don't understand. I've gone up to every single time that we've gotten into a fight historically."
And I was ready for all the footage of Melissa going up to Jennifer. But actually, the footage showed that it really was Jennifer going up to Melissa every single time.
Right. But it's also Jennifer. It's also Jennifer initiating the fights usually.
That's true. I forgot about that part.
She is Teresa's henchman. She's been coming from. And listen, I'm no Melissa fan. Okay. I feel like if anyone should be fired, it's Melissa. Every season I say the same thing. But I'm no huge Melissa fan. But, you know, come on. I mean, Jen starts it with this.
It's true.
In the Jersey court of law, it's who starts it, you know. And she starts it. So, yeah, she goes to make up. But she's apologizing because she's always the one doing wrong. And then Melissa's always a sucker. And she's like, "You know what? I'm going to forgive her." And then by the end of the season, she's like,
"Oh, really? Well, have fun at your party. Hope this pulls a stripper slut. Why is everybody so mad at me?" "You know what, baby? There have been some times that we've had like a little bit of friction, but it was like it's coming from a place of hurt. Like I was so hurt when she got upset when I spread rumors of her being a slut, baby."
So then Jennifer's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm not doing something that's not reciprocated. I feel like a chump, and I'm no chump, baby."
So Dolores goes, "Fair enough."
"So I'm not a chump here. No chumps here, baby."
"What do you want me to say? I already said fair enough. You can't get even more enough than enough. It's fair enough."
Yeah. So then Melissa's back like, "I genuinely tried with her, guys. But, you know, last year, like, why is it necessary for her to go to Danielle? Like, hey, this is what I heard about Melissa, blah, blah, blah. I mean, not only if Jennifer, like, blindly loyal, not only is she blindly loyal to Teresa, but she's also spread a whole cheating rumor about me last year. I mean, that was disgusting." And then we see the flashback of her being like,
"But I heard that Melissa made out."
Was it her driver?
It was.
She was making out with some guy that worked for them or something.
"Laura was telling me the Margaret told us some room about somebody that works with both of them. So Melissa in the backseat and she was making out with another guy, baby. But you didn't hear it from me. You didn't hear it from me. You didn't hear it from me."
This show is harder to keep up with. Okay, so House of the Dragon is coming back, the Game of Thrones thing. Right. And it's been a long time since it's been on. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go watch so many episodes to remember what's happening. I feel the same way with Jersey. So many fights happen on this show that you need... And we've recapped every one of them, every single one of them. How am I supposed to remember this shit? It's too much.
It's a lot. But yeah, I mean, let's not forget that last season, Jennifer and Teresa got information from Laura about Margaret And then they were trying to play the good guys. They found a Patsy and Danielle. And so, of course, and Teresa was not going to touch it. So then Jennifer told Danielle in Ireland and was like, "Hey, girl, it's so hard for me to tell you this, baby, but here's the gossip." And then, of course, Danielle blabs it to everyone and makes a huge mess. So anyway, so we're back at the Shore House, and Jennifer's like, I feel like they did me dirty, okay? I feel like I was the one that was the scapegoat here. So now Jennifer starts doing this whole thing like, I didn't say this rumor. I merely stated it on camera for the first time and spread it to Danielle, and Danielle's the one who told everyone.
Yes. So she's like, how's she going to blame me for a cheating rumor when Danielle's the one who said it? And it came from Margaret. So then Jennifer's like, you know, I'm sick of them never taking accountability. They always get away with it. Well, they've come to a point in their life where they think their shit don't stink. And guess what? It's smelly. Poopery can't even save you, baby. They think they don't need to give you anything because they're so fucking great. Well, guess what? It's time to flush.
It's a mother in distress, baby.
So now we go back to the Shore House, and Melissa's like, it looks like she's looking for an excuse to be mad at me. Sorry. So Margaret's like, well, you know what? I feel like, the truth is this. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've never seen her be so sweet with me in her entire life, okay? She didn't even call me a bugger-wolf last night, okay? I mean, she was so sweet and mellow. Maybe you can call Bill and invite him over tonight. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe bring her over to our side to take one of Teresa's footmen, her toadstool, her whatever you want to call it. Bring it to our side and use it against her. I don't know, just thinking out loud.
And Gorga's like, yeah, you know, I love Bill. You know, we make gay jokes together, Turkish jokes together. I mean, it's great, you know? Yeah. I can call him. I'll call him. So they call Bill, and Bill's like, look who's calling me during breakfast. Little Gorga, little man Gorga. Hello, Joe.
No fucking
what can
way.
I do you for?
Hey, is Tony there? Tony, get it? Tony?
Tony the Turk?
Yeah, Tony the Turk. That's what I'm looking for. Hey.
Are you calling for Tony the Turk to Turk you off or what, Joe? What can I do you for?
I'm just going to pretend like you didn't say that, but I miss you, brother. I miss you, my brother.
So he asks him to come to the party, and he's like, well, as you know, I have what's referred to as a wife. Hilarious. She's having a problem with the girls, blah, blah, blah. You know how wives are. I really don't hear all the words. I just hear some yelling from inside the pool house. Not really sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to go without her. So figure that out, and we're back together, baby.
Yeah, it's kind of... So that's kind of where things stand at the moment. But, you know, when I do hear your voice, Joe, when we say the word stand, it has all sorts of different meaning. Anyway, please, I wish you the biggest, happiest birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Bill, what you doing there?
Oh, sorry, I got lost in the moment.
Now, listen, I know getting these women to talk is hard, Joe, but... it's not as hard as I am when you talk. Would you talk more, Joe? Hey. Would you talk more?
It's like, all right, gotta go, brother. Commercial.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Here comes one right now.
So he refused.
You know, and he's like...
couldn't believe it.
And Bill's like, Bill's like, you know, so he said, I'm looking over the last years, looking at some photos, and, you know, we had a great time. And yes, you know, unfortunately, we've been a little far from that now. And Dolores goes, And he's like, well, I'm having a party and I want to invite you guys. And I said, is it just going to be the guys? It'll be the small room, maybe some logs on the fire, sweat dripping, shirts coming off, things like that. He said, no, there'll be women there too. And I said, well, unfortunately, we can't make it.
That's right, because we're a pair. We're a team. We got friendship. Friendship. That's the perfect friendship, baby. Am I right, Bill?
He's like, But, you know, there is a pool. There is a Gorga. Pools generally require men to not have their shirts on. I don't know.
Bill, stay focused, baby.
I've got your back. I've got your back.
I was promising to see if shrinkage did really work on Joe, but it's okay. We can test that out another time.
So Bill's like,
look, some people just can't apologize. It's very difficult for some people, you know.
He's like, I don't even need an apology. I just need an acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. Dot, dot, dot.
Normally people imply a dot, dot, dot.
Nah, I just don't have anything else to say. Dot, dot, dot. Acknowledgement.
An acknowledgement of what? That you spread a rumor that she was cheating on her husband? Like, what do you want her to acknowledge? Just say you're sorry and get... Okay, what are you going to do? Like, shoot the rest of this show with Dolores? Dolores can barely stand you. And Teresa's got something going on with her daughters. You guys are going to have to, like, make it past this, okay?
Yeah.
Move it along.
So, speaking of which, Teresa's at home, and Gabriella's packing. She's just packing up her boxes. I was under the assumption that this was Gabriella actually going up to college, but it's just her boxes going off with a sponsored moving company. So they're packing stuff up, and Teresa's like, all right, what are you going to bring? You're going to bring all that stuff? We're going to bring it on the plane. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, okay, this will be my airplane outfit. Yeah. And then Gia walks in. She's like,
Yeah, Gia's sobbing. And she's like, I don't know. I can't take it when you're leaving me. This is the worst thing ever. Judice calls, and she's like, Dad, this is the worst day ever. He's like, nah, no, it's not, all right? The worst day ever is when you try and sneak a toothpaste, when you try and sneak a toothbrush into the shower, and it's already been turned into a shiv, all right? That hurts, okay? You want to talk about pain? That's it.
I like that this is the worst day ever for Gia, meaning that it was worse than her father going to jail and her mother going to jail, because this is like the first responsible person in the household that's actually leaving home.
Yeah.
So,
it's the only person who knew how to pay the electricity bill.
It's like, how are we going to keep the electric on?
So Gabrielle's like,
one of our friends, Amanda, texted during this, and she's like, oh my God, I can't believe there's a whole episode about when Gabriella finally goes off to find her real family. It was so funny.
I can't believe there's a whole episode where Gabriella talked. So she's like, hey, Dad, let me show you my boxes. And so he's going to show the box. She's going to show the boxes and everything. He's like, hey, what are you packing? Like, everything? Eh. And she's like, no, Dad. He's like, hey, are you going to get them all, Dad? She's like, you know, a moving company, Dad. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm proud of you, Gabriella. You know, maybe someday you can be selling sex toys in the Bahamas, too. You know, what you going to do?
Teresa's like,
Ragas, universities of Michigan. So amazing. Oh my God, I'm crying. Turn the phone around. I don't want him to see me crying.
And this is where Teresa does that thing where she fans out all her fingers in every different direction and then waves her hand. Like, why do you make your hand less of a wind pushing device? You know, she's trying to dry out her tears, but she's like,
let me make sure my hand looks like a rake before I try to stop fanning my tears away.
She was like, well, he can't, Ma. He's crying too. It doesn't matter if he sees you. She's like, oh my God, Joe, is you crying?
He's like, I ain't crying. What you thought? I ain't crying. So what? Who cares? All right. So there's just a few words coming down my cheeks. So what? And who? And cares? That's it.
Hey, hold on one second. My bitch wife over here is crying on the FaceTime. I know, right?
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about you, honey. No, what you gonna do? So then, so then
some awkward orange, some awkward purple person comes in sniffing the air like there's, I can smell the steak cooking. It's Louie. He's like, hey. Hey, husband. Hey, ex-husband. Good to see you, brother. I just wore a shirt with one of your taglines the other day.
And then Judice goes, you know what? It's a sad day, but it's a good day as well. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? He literally says, what are you going to do? Sad day. It's a good day. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Crying up in the Bahamas. What are you going to do?
So they talk over and over again about how proud they are, which they should be, you know, but be prouder off the screen because I'm literally bored to death. Okay. So let's be proud. Let's do something other than being proud. Let's beat Gabriella up for being smarter than the rest of us. I don't know, something, you know, these are just ideas.
So yeah, she talks about how she's gonna go, she wants to major in economics and everything. And then the producer asks Teresa if Joe Giudice is gonna be helping to pay for college. She's like,
yeah, no, he's not gonna pay for nothing.
And basically it's, you know, she's like,
he's gotta, you know, he's focusing on his life in the Bahamas. And then, you know, like, that's okay. And like, you know, I'm thankful because I could pay for it and such and such. Oh, blink, blink, blink.
It's crazy that Joe Giudice's dildo influencing hasn't really panned out enough yet.
It's a shame.
But, hey, I wish you the best. I wish you the best. So we find out that he's not paying for college, but Louis is helping Teresa. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So
which I don't really believe, honestly. I believe Teresa's paying, but it's a joint account. So she's saying that Louis's paying. Louis's not paying for that college. Give me a break. Louis's not paying for anything. Do you think? I think Louis is broke. What do you think?
I think Louis is broke. I think he's going to say he's paying for things, but I think he's broke. Well, I think, first of all, also, at least for these movers, we know that they definitely did not pay for these movers because these movers get such a long scene. Like, is this what happened? Is this like the legacy of Priv? Like, the NBC say, you know what? We don't want to back a makeup app anymore. We want to back some movers because these movers come up. And we sit there for like 25 minutes watching them hand over boxes like, hey, I'm Louie. Huh? You need some help here. Huh? They're like, hi, I'm Anthony. I'm like Patrick. And they're like, we meet every single mover. We see them load up the boxes. It goes on and on like, and
this
on.
This is the mover Joe. This is the mover Joe. This is mover Joe as well. That's the mover. His name is Joseph. It's crazy. It's very formal. All right.
These are my boxes. You can give it to Joe. No, the other Joe. No, the other Joe.
I'm sorry. Can I speak with the owner? I'm Frank. I'm Frank Joseph. What can I do for you?
So the scene goes on for a very long time. And the gist of it is that she's still at home and her boxes have left for Michigan. But Gabriella she has not actually left, despite them making it seem like she's walking out the door.
Yeah. Okay. So then really a long scene.
Well, because the scene actually then pivots. We have this long scene. And then Louis and Teresa go to like a bench. And Louis is like, hey, I love you, girl. I love you. I love what you're wearing yellow today. Oh, it's with the sun. You're wearing dressing like the sun. And she's like,
yeah, well, yellow because of Michigan.
Like,
She goes, yeah, it's beautiful today. Yeah, when are we going to start talking about other people? Because I can talk about other people if you want.
It's like, yeah. How'd you feel about last night? And or she asked, Teresa asked him how he feels about last night. Yeah, I'm okay. She's like,
yeah, John Fuda didn't come up to anything, right? Like, no, he didn't come up.
She's like, no. I have no time for that. A loser like that, honestly. It's disgusting. Yeah. Drug dealer.
But then today I got a notification call from some you've got a new credit from a scene with John Fuda. I'm not really sure what that means, but I'm proud. That guy's a fucking loser. That guy's a fucking loser, I'll tell you that.
She goes, yeah. Well, you know, look, babe, Jim Fessler told me that John Fuda was upset because they think I called him the biggest drug dealer of Bergen County. Like now. I was like, no. It was like back then. It was like a long time ago, you know? It's crazy. God.
Yes,
I would never do that. I would never say that he was like a current drug dealer, you know?
And then we see a flashback.
Teresa turning it around like, I was being sweet. I was just saying back in the day. Now he's just like a reputable child father.
Yeah. And we see a flashback of her saying,
I heard that John Fuda is the biggest drug dealer in all of Bergen County.
So she's like, you know, I'm like the first of all, if you hear something,
you ask someone like, is this true? You know, like me with like, you know, Jackie's husband, right? Like, did this really happen? Like when you're a father, like a husband and you're like the leader of a family, like that's what you do.
Oh, Teresa, the pro on what real husbands and leaders of the family should do.
Yeah.
You married and get back to me on that. So she's like, yeah, you don't start causing commotion and a scene and then bring a manila envelope, you know, like that. Like, bring a chocolate envelope. Nobody likes manila. All right.
You know what? Like, why do you gotta go to the Philippines to get an envelope? You know, like, why is that? Like, that's too much.
So
you just gave Teresa so much credit.
I know. As I was saying, I was like, she would never know. She would never understand that.
You know what? You put manila with vanilla, and then you're just lip syncing everything. Am I right? I can't wait to listen to that new podcast on Spotify. I mean, Wondery.
This was not a sponsored Mother in Distress. Mother in Distress. Bing,
bing, bing. I'm a mother in distress.
Okay, so she goes,
then, you know, you admit what you're going to do. Like, who do you think you are, huh? The Godfather?
And he's like, yeah. She goes,
nah.
I love Teresa leaning into a Godfather not moment.
Teresa saying that she would never, ever, ever mean that John Fuda is currently a super active drug dealer, but then calls him a Godfather.
Who do you think you are, the Godfather? Nah.
So then Louis like, yeah, in a second. Look at
the well, I love that also Teresa's trying to have this scene where she's acting so innocent. Like, I never said that was current. That was all in the past. You know, now he's just such a good father. That's all I've ever said. But then Louis still hasn't caught on to this. So he's like, yeah, I had to say, bless me. This one ugly motherfucker. He's so ugly.
Says Louis, who looks like his face looks like a bullet train. So Louis like, he's like, yeah, it's one hour, yeah. And what he said about pushing a narrative that's absolutely false and untrue. So Teresa's like,
yeah, I'm sorry that I'm bringing you around that night.
He's like, oh, babe, please. I'm sorry you have to deal with this. He's like,
no, I have to say that you handled it with grace. Thank you.
He's like, yeah, I do like Nancy Grace.
No, you handled it, Grace. Wait, you know Nancy Grace? I'll kill that bitch. I'll cut that bitch.
So it's called children and you, this first. All right, this first. And she's like,
yeah, no one gets in the love bubble, right? You know what we should do? Let people into our love bubble. Nah.
So now we go back to Rachel's Shore House where, you know, people are getting ready, putting on hairspray and stuff. And Jen Fester's like, do you like
this? Everyone's getting ready. It's the getting ready segment.
So then everyone else is getting ready. Melissa's getting ready. Melissa's mom is getting ready. People are getting ready. The Italian cakes are arriving.
Everyone's getting ready.
The Italian cake is arriving. All the Italian themed stuff. And sure enough, it is focaccia letters everywhere. Happy birthday, Joe Gorga and focaccia.
Focaccia's letters.
To be fair,
focaccia letters.
This is also like their Real Housewives of New Jersey version of a Gatsby party. Like this is like their Roaring Twenties party. Is just focaccia letters. It's Halloween. This is like Ramadan. It's like it's everything. It's like focaccia letters.
And so Marge goes, "Wow, this is the most Italian things. I mean, look at that." The bread is spelling out chow. And she goes, yeah, chow. You know, like it's a little chow. She goes, oh, I felt like it's inspired by Italy, right? And Joe Gorga's like, wow, this is amazing. What are those breads? Those bread spelling things? It's just like when we was in Italy.
Yes. That's something that you can look forward to, Ronnie, is the road signs in Italy are all focaccia. They're like...
I hope as I land, it's like, welcome to Italy. I'll spell that in carbs.
The airport is made of focaccia, actually. The jetway is just a big, long focaccia that just like they push towards the plane and you walk out on it.
Let's see. So Melissa's like, okay, yeah, you know what? When gifts are coming in, let's stick them here, you know? And then you can just bring them in for me, okay? So then everyone's arriving for the party. We've got March Sr., Lexi. It's a big party, guys. Huge. March Sr. and Lexi are here. Yeah. Big one. Big travel party. Guys.
Everyone's coming. And we see Donna. She is, because like March Sr. is like, oh yeah, I went over there. I brought flowers to your mother because she fell over while saving a baby. And Donna's like, thank you. It was very sweet. She's like holding up like flowers and drinks, like, you know, barely can keep anything together with her cast and everything. And so now more people are showing up. And Melissa's like, Joe, look who's here. It's Kayla. Have we met Kayla before? I don't know what. Kayla got a whole Chiron and her husband got a Chiron.
Yeah, we met Kayla, the friend of with the lips.
Oh, I thought that was a different friend of. It's Kayla's the one with the lips?
Maybe. I don't know. She's there, though, too. Lips is there, too.
Was it Tiffany?
Oh, maybe it is.
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, there was a new friend over there today. So I guess you're right, Kayla. And Kayla. And there are, you know, just small talk and stuff. So then John Fuda and Rachel Fuda are crazy. Okay, guess what we did? We got a blow-up doll. We named it Josephina. Okay? It's crazy. It's one of the craziest things we ever did. Okay? So John Fuda walks through the gate holding the blow-up doll. And then Joe Gorga, of course, loves it. You know? He's like, oh my God. I already have this one, but I'll re-gift it.
Yeah.
I'll re-gift it.
There it is. There she is. So he loves it. And Melissa's like, are you kidding me? Excuse me. I got some focaccia in my throat. Are you kidding me? You bought this for him? I mean, she has a I can't even say it because there are babies here. Oh my God. I'm so incredulous right now.
So they're all just going crazy about this blow-up doll. That's like the thing. So then Danielle comes up and she's chatting, making small talk with Melissa. And Melissa's like, oh my God, what is this, a blow-up doll? Never seen a blow-up doll. This is crazy. I'm sure you guys all know about it. And Danielle's like, oh, you know what? You know what? You know what? I thought John says you was going to be bad at that. You're not bad at that? You're not bad at that? It's a blow-up doll. You're not bad about it? I heard you was going to be bad about it.
I'm going to throw it in the bed.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.